Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
The resurrection story occurs in all four of the Gospels. All four of them. Obviously important. That said, the details are a little different in the four versions. It seems to be one of the three of the things that they have in common, all four of the versions are, that it seems to happen on the first day of the week, sometime on the first day of the week. Now, in the Jewish day, the day begins at sundown, what we would call the previous day. So this could have been as early as what we would call Saturday evening, or as late as dawn on Sunday. The other thing that the stories all have in common relates to who the characters are. Mary Magdalene and angels are involved in all three stories. Now, some of the stories change a little bit. Sometimes the resurrection occurrence, the first appearance of Jesus, might be on the road to Emmaus. And then Jesus comes back and sees the disciples later. Mark, the original version of Mark, ends without a Jesus encounter. Matthew seems to be focused quite a bit on concern over where Jesus' body might have gone. Perhaps somebody stole it, and they're having to deal with that element. And that's a subtext within today's scripture. John is an interesting writer. Very little in John is there just to fill in the details, just to sort of tell the story. John has layers upon layers upon layers related to the story. He says things in order to cause you to spark to something he may have said earlier. This is a good example of the overall story we have today. Am I actually going to preach on this primary point? Maybe next year I'll do it. But in John 1, verse 5, in that wonderful prologue, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that. The end of that is says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. In this particular telling of the resurrection story, this is the only one that seems to start in the dark. Why? Because for John, the nature of who Jesus is, the nature of who Christ is going to be able to light up the world in spite of the darkness. Mary Magdalene shows up, and she probably was wondering how she's going to roll away this stone, how she's going to roll it away. But the stone's been rolled away. It's already been done. God's action has already occurred. Now, Mary Magdalene is a little taken aback by this, and rather than stick her head in the John story into the tomb and see what's going on there, she rushes off to go find Mary. Mary Jean read it a little wrong. She read it by Simon Peter. She said Simon Peter, but everybody around those days wouldn't have called him Simon Peter. They would have called him Rocky. His name was Peter, which means rock. So they would have, I'm sure they would have called him Rocky, right? Absolutely. So she goes and finds Rocky and this unnamed disciple. Now, I normally believe that the unnamed disciple there is the author of the gospel, John. Now, there's wide interpretation on that. You can have lots of things. But I do know this about the character. He's proud of how fast he can run. He can run faster than Rocky. And not only does he tell us once that he runs faster than Rocky, he tells us two times. Wants us to know twice that he beat Rocky to the empty tomb. Rocky, though, is impetuous. You gotta love Simon Peter. He is impetuous. He gets to the empty tomb, and John's standing there, probably gasping for breath, waiting for his medal, maybe. And he runs into the tomb. Runs into the tomb and sees some things. Sees some things that suggest to him that this is a little different than the Lazarus experience, which just happened about a week ago. The Lazarus experience, Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave, but Lazarus is still bound up in his burial clothes. Still bound up in those burial clothes. And here, the burial clothes are there on the ground. Maybe it's a good thing it's happening at night. Jesus might be running around naked. Now, it's intriguing here on this because John and Peter then seem to have an aha moment. And John tells us they have this aha moment. But what do they do with their aha moment? They go back home and I guess they fix some grits and fried eggs or something. I don't know. They go back and they don't tell anybody. I'm intrigued by that one. It just is a mystery to me as to how you could come to the tomb Jesus has been telling you about for 3.5 years, how long this is what's going to happen, and it happens, and you go back home. Weird. That's not my sermon today, though. I want to focus on Mary. I want to focus on Mary Magdalene. She doesn't go back home. She doesn't go back home and get any grits and fried eggs. She stays there, and she's trying to understand what has happened, and she sticks her head inside the tomb, and lo and behold, she sees two angels. Not one, but two. Two angels. And she confronts the angels, and the angels say, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And so she starts to explain about the nature of why she's crying. Then she sees this figure out in the mist, out of the darkness, out of the gloom. And she doesn't recognize him. She doesn't recognize Jesus. And she thinks he's the gardener. Now, what I want to talk about now for the next few minutes is sort of the scene, this interaction that occurs there with Mary and Jesus. And as I indicated to you, very little in John doesn't have something somewhere else which supports the overall story. So, for example, this first conversation that Jesus is having with the first post-resurrection conversation Jesus is having, he asked her the question, "Whom are you looking for? Who are you looking for?" Interesting that the first conversation Jesus has with potential disciples in John 1 is found in John 1, verse 38. Jesus turns around to those who were following him and says, "What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Whom are you looking for?" Sort of the bookends of John, if you will. What are you looking for? And interestingly enough, the disciples in 1:38 say, "Rabbi, Rabbi." And Mary gets there in a second. She will say, "Rabboni, teacher." Now, the Mary conversation, though, requires us to unpack a little bit John 10. Now, I am not an expert in Judean or Palestinian animal husbandry. I'm not. Okay? But my understanding is that John 10, the story in John 10, is accurate. If you were to put 60 sheep together with, say, five shepherds, that those 60 sheep know those shepherds, the voice of the shepherd calling them out, they'll go to the right one. They'll find their way to the right one. By the way, interestingly enough, that if one of those shepherds has been mean and cruel to those shepherds, they will avoid the right one. They will wander off in a different direction. They'll avoid that. Jesus in John 10 has indicated that he is the good shepherd. And part of this good shepherd story, he reminds the disciples that those that are part of his flock will recognize his voice. When he calls them, they will recognize him. When he calls them by name, they will know him by their voice, by his voice. Mary, in this scene, has been called by name. She's been called by name. And the fact that she recognizes Jesus, John's vocabulary would say, she's part of the flock. She sees him as the good shepherd. Now, the third element of this particular scene is related to what the disciples say in 138 and what she says to Jesus right here, which is both of them suggest that Jesus is a teacher. He's their teacher. It's this idea of the fact that we're going to go deeper with this guy. This isn't a one and done experience. This is going to be something that calls for us to be taught something about the nature of being in a relationship with God. And what Jesus will say is that this phase, you won't find these exact words in your Bible, okay? But he's saying that this phase of the Jesus Project is over. Or it's almost over, and we're going to change the nature. The incarnation is over. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here with you. I'm just going to change my form. My glorification is not quite complete. And so my invitation for you is to understand that I'm going to go to my Father, your Father, my God, our God. So what are we to take from these words this beautiful, gorgeous April day in 2014? What are we to take from these? It says something to us, I imagine. I've got to believe. My view is that the words that are in this ancient book still speak to us now. They still speak to us in our time. Well, I wonder if maybe the first one, the first point, first idea that we might want to be left with is what you're looking for. What you're looking for? Who are you looking for? That's Jesus' first question to the disciples. It's Jesus' first question post-resurrection to Mary. What are you looking for? Whom are you looking for? We're going to come back to that. Second thing is that this idea of being called by name. You're here. You're here. You got here somehow, some way you wandered into this place. God called you by name. God called you by name. God said, Marty. God said, Leanne. God said, Rob. God said, John. Martha. Ann, Heidi, Alan, Kathy. And just because I didn't call your name doesn't mean that God didn't call you by name and invite you in. I'll regress to my southern roots. God called all y'all in here. That's the second idea. The third idea for us is, though, that God calls us and we respond, teacher. We seem to have this recognition that we need to go deeper in our relationship. Teach me. I've responded by showing up. I'm not sure exactly why I'm here, but I found my way here. That's what I'm looking for. So I'm looking for something. Looking for something deep. Looking for something meaningful. And God called me by name. And I want you to teach me. I want you to teach me. I want to go to the second idea here for a second. This thing about by name. One of my favorite TV shows of the 1980s was a TV show about a bar. I'm sure that surprises a lot of you. Jack's not surprised in the slightest. But it was a bar And they used alcohol as the social lubricant. I understand that. But the bar was a place where everybody knew your name. Everybody knew your name. The screenwriters are suggesting that by knowing someone's name, some kind of barriers have fallen down. There's an intimacy that's arrived at by virtue of this knowing your name. I've been here almost 2 years. I don't have all 700 people who worship here on a regular basis. I don't have all your names down, but I got your faces. I sit down with Leanne periodically, and I pull open the directory and without pictures, and I start to describe who I think the names are. I do okay. Not perfect yet. Not perfect yet. But part of that is that I sort of believe that if I can call your name, we can establish a relationship. We can be in a relationship together. So I'm going to keep working on that. And I would suggest all of you to keep working on that. To maybe walk over to somebody and say, I'm sorry that Dennis didn't call your name out when he was listing all those names. But I know that in his heart he thought about you. The third thing, though, is this idea of going deeper. Going deeper. One of Billy Graham's grandsons has an almost unpronounceable last name. His name's Tullian Tavigian. I did it better the second service than I did the first service, right? Choir heard me really bollocks it up at the first service. Tullian Tavigian. He's a pastor down in Florida. He's a Baptist. He's a Baptist, but we can use Baptist stuff inside this church. It's okay. It's all right. God does not move us beyond the gospel, beyond the good news. He moves us more deeply into the good news because all the power we need in order to change and mature comes through the good news. By the way, that's John's gospel, is that the nature of who understanding who God is requires us to pass through Jesus to get there. The gospel does not simply ignite the Christian life. It is the fuel that keeps Christians going and growing every day. Real change cannot come apart. Real change cannot come apart from the good news. Let me say that again. Real change cannot come apart from the good news. So the invitation that Jesus has with his disciples, and that Jesus has with Mary here, and they recognize it, is to go deeper. It's this idea of going deeper into the material and going deeper into our relationship. Our church is going to start a little 6-week expedition here next week, and we're going to talk a little bit about 6 simple rules, 6 simple things that'll help you figure out what's important. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, simplicity before you've been through the complexity is worthless. So we're going to, I'm not going to want to walk in here and just give you the rule and then let you go. All right? Not going to work that way. We're going to talk a little bit about why the rule is important, how it's biblically based and all of that. But that's an invitation for you. We really believe here that the good news of Jesus Christ is something that impacts us every minute of every hour of every day of every week of the year. It helps us understand the world we live in. It calls us out by name and invites us to go deeper. Now, normally, when I reach out and I quote a theologian, I quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Have I ever quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer here before? More than once. More than once. Matter of fact, it's probably a monthly occurrence. I have never, until this morning at 9 o'clock, the 9 o'clock service, I have never said the words Soren Kierkegaard at a Hilltop service. Okay, I'm saying Soren Kierkegaard today. Just because he has a complicated name does not mean we need to ignore what he has to say. God has called him by name to proclaim the gospel. God has called him by name to remind us of where we're a little short on that gospel. Kierkegaard was a philosopher, lived in Denmark, philosopher, theologian. He writes a parable about a community of ducks. Community of ducks. And they waddle off to duck church to hear the duck preacher. I'm sure that Jack thinks periodically. I sit up here and go quack, 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 quack. Right, Jack?
Yes, sir.
That hurts. That hurts. Jack, you're entitled to disagree with me in front of me as well as on Thursday nights. Okay. Soren Kierkegaard tells a parable of a community of ducks waddling off to duck church to hear the duck preacher. The duck preacher spoke eloquently of how God had given the ducks wings with which to fly. With these wings, there was nowhere the ducks could not go. There was no God-given task the ducks could not accomplish. With those wings, they could soar into the presence of God. Shouts of amen were quacked throughout the duck congregation. At the conclusion of the service, the ducks left, commenting on what a wonderful message to the duck preacher they had just heard, and they waddled back home. It is funny. It is funny. The message of Easter is that we've been set free. The things that bind us, the things that hold us back, the things that keep us from soaring in the heavens, it's often ourselves. It's our own lack of faith. Who are you looking for? Has Jesus perhaps called you by name? I believe that he has. Do you know what it might take for you to go deeper? Be your name Sam? Or John, or Jack, or Skip, or Camille, or all the other names that are in here today. That's the invitation for this Easter. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, you have called us out of the world by name and invited us to be in relationship with you. Lord, let us do that. Let it set us free to be your people in the world. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.